Season 3, episode 16, Girl Talk.
Like the DJ.
The boys, Sipowicz and Simone, come to a DOA who is a girl that is fallen off a roof.
Has she fallen or is she thrown? Question marks.
That's the question mark. As it turns out, the girl is has semen on her. And
why did you struggle to say that?
Because it's a weird thing to say.
Semen?
Semen.
Ejaculate.
So Sipowicz says the phrase, bastard raped, strangled, and then threw her off a roof. And a weirder thing was...
Yeah, Sipowicz is triggered.
Sipowicz is triggered. When kids... Like I said it when we were watching the episode. When
Sipowicz is on fire.
When Sipowicz sees that a kid has been hurt in any way...
It's game over in Flavortown.
It's... It's like someone gives him spinach and he's Popeye, and it's just
the Sailor Man.
Yeah, Popeye the Sailor Man.
I was thinking the guy who makes chicken.
So,
ba-dum-tsh.
A weirder thing is that Metavoy said the phrase she looks the same age as my Katie, which I thought was weird.
Yeah, he doesn't really talk about his kids.
And then when he
you know
does,
what I mean, like, and when he does, it's like. Really weird.
And while they're asking...
Greg Metavoy, shitty dad or not a shitty dad?
I don't think he's a shitty dad.
Because...
we've never really seen him with his kids.
Because, like, Sipowicz is a shitty dad to Andy Jr., right?
He was a shitty dad
was, yeah, but he was a shitty dad to him.
Uh-huh.
He's trying to be better, and he's not going to be a shitty dad to Theo. But is Greg Metavoy a shitty dad?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay.
I think he made an effort when he was getting divorced to like try and talk to his kids, and his wife was kind of being a bitch
crazy.
About it.
Yeah, she is. I mean, they do like show her as being like super crazy.
Yeah, she's a bit out there.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're talking to the mother of the victim, and she immediately becomes inconsolable when they say it's possible she was murdered. Then a dude says he's got something that you guys want to hear as he was...
Oh, yeah, this fucker.
And he was recording something to be a rapper slash DJ slash whatever. His name was...
A low-budget Beastie Boy.
A low-budget Beastie Boy?
Low-budget Beastie Boy.
His name was Phil Farr, and he kind of looked like the singer of RX Bandits.
Not even close.
To me, he looked like the singer of RX Bandits.
Matt Embry is a goddess.
Matt Embry is a goddess.
And you know what? He would take that. He would take that, and you know it.
From
his songs, you fucking know he would take that as a compliment.
And he was recording something when the girl fell off the roof, and you could hear her screaming. So
this was a time when like Law & Order also did episodes about like DJs or like rap music. But they always got, like, the worst music to represent what, like, was actually something that ends up being, like, good and popular. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know.
Like, the idea that they knew what good things were going to sound like, and then turns
out
it
was, like,
a
bunch of old white people, or, like, it's just a bunch of, like, people who have no idea, like, about that culture, like, trying to write about it, it felt like. Because it was, like, oh, this underground DJ world, this guy trying to be a rapper, and then it was, like, the worst shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they're supposed to emphasize that he's not good, but it's like you could have tried. Like, you could have put some effort into making it decent. I don't know.
That's a good point. And Sipowicz takes the tape, and he's like, hey, man, that's my property. And then Sipowicz says, you'll get it back after we're done. And then the guy pushes him farther, and then he essentially says, do not talk to me right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
He says, don't say more to me right now.
He does that a lot. He takes advantage of the fact that he's a cop.
But that was him taking advantage?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, it is kind of his tape. I mean, what evidence are you going to get out of it? And, like, you could... And, like, I don't think you can just take it. Right?
I think he was taking it so that he doesn't have that audio.
Without, like... No, I know that's what he's doing, but, like... And so I think he's then saying, when he just says, walk away from me, he's asserting his power as a
police officer.
And he does that a lot.
Well, yeah, they always...
With Cohen's Have we passed it? Cohen's comments about Diane and
Simone?
Yeah.
Yeah, he mentioned something about that.
Yeah, and then like he kind of like gets in his face. They use their power as a cop to kind of be like, don't fuck with us.
Yeah, that's
true. It happens. Everyone uses it.
And they always, like every movie and TV show, at least back then and from earlier, they try to assert the assumption that police are automatically good and they have like this moral authority, especially the protagonists.
Yeah.
And with Sipowicz, he's like learning to be better. So it's kind of like we're done with the intro. So now it's time to let you know that this is NYPD Blue Balls with Kirk and Kyle going through every episode of NYPD Blue. Here's the theme song to NYPD Blue. Anyway, after they come back to the house, Andy and Simone run over the case with Fancy. Then they find out that a woman detective who works in a different precinct dealt with a very similar situation with a girl who fell off the roof. And she's in critical condition because she landed on a clothesline. But she survived, and she only got a description of like a leather blue jacket.
Yeah, like distinctly blue.
And Sipowicz has issue with this woman because she got first grade and he felt he got passed up for a promotion.
He thinks she got it because she was a woman and a Latino. Or Latina or Latinx, whatever.
Latinx, which, okay. Yeah,
whatever.
When she shows,
not here to offend, just tell a story.
He mentioned it before she shows up, and then when she does show up, she says, "Hi, I'm so-and-so Escobar."
Oh, yeah.
And he says, "Oh, like the drug dealer." And he says, she says, "Oh, yeah, he's my uncle." And he responds with, "What a comedian."
Yeah, he got his feelings hurt.
He got his feelings hurt for basically insulting her for no reason.
Yeah.
Which is like, okay, well, you deserve it. The other important thing about this character, Escobar rolls up to Bobby Simone.
DTF.
And basically makes the comment, "I'm sorry to hear about your wife."
Yeah.
Then at the end of this whole story, when it all shakes out for the positive, she said, "Hey, after your wife died, I wanted to call, but I didn't know what to say. Do you want to get a drink?"
Yeah.
And he says, "I'm already seeing someone." And she's like, "Man, I missed it." And then walks out.
Yeah. Every chick. Like, every person they come across, men too, want to blow this man.
Who? What man also wants to blow
this man? I don't
know.
All of them.
I don't know all of them.
Every woman that comes in is like just jonesing for it.
Yeah, they want the Simone.
We already did that stalker chick, right?
Yeah,
the blonde one who like he had to like fuck with in court.
Yeah, he had to trick her so
like,
that she wouldn't.
He has that. Like he fucked up Diane.
What do you mean he fucked up Diane?
I mean he helped Diane, I guess.
Every woman who comes in, and there's mention that she's attractive from
Donna tries to
Medavoy.
Get at it.
Yeah, Donna does. It's right. If you have a vagina and you see Simone,
you're trying to get it.
And you made the good point because even Benita, the lady who was a reporter.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that bitch.
She opened up once with the phrase, "Oh, I heard about your wife." Like, it's like they all waited for this dude's wife to die before they can make their move.
Did they all have a pool? Were they taking odds
as to who would get him,
or like who when she was gonna die?
That'd be really messed up. I don't know if women are that messed up.
She still is not dead yet.
So they go through this story. Now they have two kids that have been thrown off roofs, and the Puerto Rican community has offered like $10,000 for information to the guy who did it. There's a big reward to anybody who has information, and Sipowicz is automatically not cool with it because he thinks they're just going to get a bunch of false information and people that are just giving information to settle old scores or to be like glory hounds. And
but he's also super like racist about it because like he's always, every time he's on the phone he's like, "No habla español."
Yeah, he's super racist
yeah,
about
he's
it.
He's like pissed off because he has to talk to people that aren't white.
And then another kid gets it while Simone and this other lady are tracking down other leads.
Yes.
Because one kid got away. He had a similar situation where a man tried to pull him into the stairwell to take him up to the roof.
That's right.
And he and that one got away, and they described him as having a blue jacket.
Yeah, blue leather jacket.
So they're chasing down those leads, but then they look into this kid, and while they're looking into this kid, a guy shows up to talk to the kid's sister.
Yeah, because they're interviewing the kid's sister, and she's like crying and talking to her mom, and then she's like, if you want to talk to my mom, she'll be at the hospital. And then in the middle of the conversation, this white guy walks in and has like stuff like groceries, but he then sets down a leather blue jacket.
No, they find the leather blue jacket in like the kitchen.
Yeah, because I think he sets it down when he comes in.
Oh.
That's like what I meant. Like, he sets it down, and then they see the leather blue jacket, and then like their detective senses go off.
He is a famous face. The guy that came in with the blue jacket. The character's name is Bill Walsh. His name is Jack Weber. He was one of the main characters in the Dawn of the Dead remake.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot his character's name. But
didn't he have, like, kids? Wasn't he, like, the love interest who had, like, kids? I don't remember. That movie's okay.
That movie's only okay, but he's in it. When they go to the third kid, Sipowicz has another moment with this lady.
Probably Zack Snyder's best movie.
They have a moment with this third kid because Simone tries to shake down this kid who clearly saw something, but he started to run away. And the kid who started to run away is a kid named Mike Vitar, who played Benny the Jet Rodriguez in Sandlot
yeah.
and Luis Mendoza in
Mighty Ducks 2 and 3.
Mighty Ducks 2 and 3.
He's a kid who couldn't stop.
Yep, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, oh, 100%. He was the kid from Miami, and he was fast.
But he couldn't stop.
Yeah. And there was the cowboy that could do, could do like rope tricks and shit.
Yeah, he's from Dallas.
From Texas. Sorry. Racist.
But him and Escobar have a butting of heads at the crime scene because she speaks Spanish to him. And Simone says he could have spoke English.
Sipowicz.
He could have spoke English if he wanted to. And then she's like, yeah, but he was more comfortable with Spanish. And he's like, yeah, that's why they're giving out promotions now.
And I mean, the last part is unnecessary, but I can get his frustration because it is his case. And I get a detective likes to do things a certain way and likes to get questions his own way and likes to do it. I get that, but he is also just being kind of a dick because as soon as he recognized that he was comfortable talking Spanish, he could have said to her, like, hey, can you ask him these questions?
Yeah, totally.
And then gone from there. I don't know.
He also doesn't like the idea, I'm assuming, that he's getting information that she isn't. Or she's getting information that he isn't.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Because such a fucking, like, childish way, wants to solve this case so bad before.
Yeah,
her,
because kids
to be
are,
like, I fucking did it.
Kids are getting hurt, so.
That and also I think he wants to like prove it to her. I don't know.
He wants to prove that he's a better detective.
Yeah.
So they get this guy, Mr. Walsh, and they bring him in saying, oh, well, let's just get some info from you before you forget.
Yeah, then he's not really like hesitant to go in. Right?
Well, he was trying to say like, what do you need? What do you really need me for?
But he didn't really fight it.
He didn't fight it too hard because then I think he felt like, oh shit, then they'll suspect something.
And then slyly they made him take the blue jacket.
And he, because
he was going to walk out with it, and I noticed Simone was like, hey, take your jacket.
And he is at the station, and Simone, Sipowicz, and Escobar are talking about what they have on him. And Fancy says it's not enough. Go get a photo ID before you go at him. So that we have definitely enough
evidence. Oh, Fancy did say that.
He's like, so we have definitely enough evidence to get him without his confession.
That changes my opinion.
So Simone and Escobar go to get the photo ID'd from the first victim who's still alive. And while they do that, Sipowicz takes it upon himself to interrogate the guy anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And he goes really hard on him.
Yeah, he... And he lies. I mean...
He straight up lies to
him. He says things... They have things that they're going to get, but they don't have it yet. He says they have an ID from the first person.
Which they have.
But they don't have it yet. They're going to get it.
Sipowicz really doesn't like it when kids get hurt, so he essentially threatens the guy with violence in a very clever way, a very Sipowicz way. I would say get Hulu to watch this scene and the last scene of last episode with the crazy guy giving his confession.
Yeah.
Because this interrogation with Sipowicz and this guy is very, very classic. Classic Sipowicz, and the guy does a pretty good job.
Yeah.
Because he's essentially a pedophile who was popped in California, and that's the piece of information that Sipowicz got before he walked in. He said, "Oh, so when did you move from California?"
Yeah, I like this the way I like when Sipowicz does this when he, like, he'll ask questions that are like simple, but then he'll throw in a question that he already knows the answer to like have me, to bust him. You know what I mean? Like in the interview,
because
he's like talking to him, and he's like, "So, because he's like, because they've already talked to him, or like kind of talked to him probably when they were picking him up about like his name, where he's from, blah blah blah," and then like. They're catching him with this info. Anyways, yeah.
And that with that information about California, he then says to him, "What about these other kids?" And the guy's like, "Well, I don't know about that." And he's like, "Well, don't lie to me."
Yeah.
And one of the parts that's interesting is they get a Polaroid of him to take to the first victim, Simone does. And when the guy asks, "Why are you doing that?" He says, "Well, you know, because of people screaming police brutality, we got to take a picture of everybody we bring in."
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. They like make that like a point.
So then when Sipowicz starts interrogating him, he's like, "Well, what about that Polaroid?" And he says, "I can beat you so that you can't walk right and there wouldn't be a bruise on you." So then the...
I can't believe I'm going to say this.
What? Which is what?
I don't want to see that.
You want to see how that's done?
Yeah, like how would you do that? And not leave a bruise. Like, what? How do you break his legs without leaving a bruise? You know what I mean? Like, what do you do?
Oranges? You never heard about that?
No.
What? Oranges?
The way that dudes used to beat their children and wives is that they would have a sack of oranges and hit...
No shit.
And it doesn't leave bruises, but it hurts like hell.
No shit.
I don't know if that's even true.
Okay, Dick Cheney.
No, Dick Cheney, of all people? I had heard it from someone.
Motherfuckers over here. Interesting. That's all. Anyways, but yeah. And then he like gets the guy to finally like break down and confess.
And, you know, he says what normal pedophiles say. He's like, "Oh, Sipowicz does that great thing he does sometimes where he goes super hard on you, so then you're like scared," and the guy was like, completely scared, and then he says, "Okay, look, clearly you didn't mean to do this because you're living with an adult woman. This is your first incident in 4 years. They have a phone call." That's the other thing we didn't mention.
Oh yeah, he did actually call and say that like
a kid fell off the roof,
and I mean it's like a little too late, but
he just wanted to like do something for the kid, even though he knew it was like too far gone. And he figured, "Well, fuck it, no one's gonna believe me anyway," so he just went back to his old tricks and then was throwing kids off the roof to hide it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because I think one of the confessions he says that the kid walked off the roof, and then I think he breaks down and he's like, "I did it," and then I did the other one.
Well, he says that the first one was an accident because he took her up there and started to mess around with her, and then she
screamed and like, yeah, and then fell off the roof. Yeah.
And then the part that's a little more menacing to me is he threw off his girlfriend's brother because, as he put it, he knew. He just knew. That
was
that
like a super like meta thing, or do you think the kid knew? Or do you think he just like saw the kid and like in his brain he was like, he knows, like he fucking knows?
I think it's the latter.
I think the crazy one, the paranoia.
Yeah, I think he was just the way his kid looked at him at that point. The way that kid looked at him made him believe, oh shit. They
or know do you think he wanted to molest the kid, and so then like. And the kid knew that, or maybe he took him up there, and the kid knew what was going to happen, and he just panicked and pushed him off. A lot of scenarios.
Yeah.
Anyways, but yeah. So he gets him to confess, and then Simone and what's her face, Escobar come back, and. As soon as they get in, Sipowicz is like, he flipped. And
yeah.
She's like, really? Oh, that sucks. Like, even without, like, and then he's like, well, did they take the match? He's like, yeah. He's like, well, now I got both. And Simone's like, oh, good. Now we have both the ID and the confession. Like, oh, this is great. But
and then
Escobar
says, what if he lawyered up? And
yeah.
He's like, she said, what if he asked for a lawyer in the middle of all that? And he said, I'm hard of hearing.
Yeah, which means it's kind of like a dick move. Because he did compromise everything just to prove a point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even though he's really good at his job, but he did compromise everything just to prove a point.
Yep.
I don't know. Anyways.
And later, when they're at the front desk, she just walks up to him and says, you're a dinosaur. And he says, he's like, oh, I'm a dinosaur, right? And then he basically makes his case that she got a promotion when it should have been him, when he had double the years and all that shit, right?
Yeah.
But then she goes, oh, you mean to tell me that you didn't get something you deserved? Yeah, me being Latino or a woman, I have no idea what that's like.
Yeah. And she went there, too. She was like, you know, most, like, 50% of you think I got it because I
got it on
my back. You know, like, and I was like, oh, shit, she's just going there.
And he does that thing where when he doesn't believe you do a good job or you're a good cop, it doesn't matter what you do. He just doesn't believe you until you prove him wrong.
Yeah, but he doesn't give her a chance.
That's what I'm saying. He just never gave her a chance.
It's not fair. But
the other story that's going on here, the woman that's talking to Martina is named Farrell McCleary.
Farrell is a weird name to
me. It's a very weird name. Martinez asks for Diane Russell's help because the woman claims she has been raped.
Okay, so question, I'm going to start off. Is it claimed, or if she comes forward and says she was raped, do we take it as she was raped?
I think it's always a claim now.
Because we're supposed to believe the person.
Here's the reason, Kyle.
I'm trying to learn.
Here's the reason I say claim. I don't know where it was, but recently two men were released from prison after 10 years and exonerated because the woman that claimed the two men kidnapped and raped her came forward and said it never happened.
Yeah, yeah, that sucks.
So that's why they're claims now.
Okay, fair enough. That's a good argument. People should just not do that.
Yeah, I agree. So they took the claim seriously, and they went to Martinez and... Diane went to go get the guy. Farrell gives...
Well, it's a little fishy to begin with, because she basically says, I invited the guy up.
It's a date rape. So just
yeah, but like I'm not saying like just because you invite a guy up means like you're going to have sex with him, but like she's like obviously shaken, and she's like, you know, like I did invite him up, and I did flirt with him at the bar, but what he did to me was not what I wanted.
Yeah, yeah.
And she knew his name and everything, and they were able to find him real quick. And Martinez is suspicious.
Well, yeah, so now they have to talk to the guy. And when they talk to the guy, the dude's a family man who's married.
He has this kid at the door, which is super awkward. Is this your first time watching this episode?
Well, no, I think I've watched all the episodes before. But I can't remember this guy's name. Shit.
I don't remember his name either, but I have a question.
What is your question while I look for this guy's name?
The first time you're introduced to this guy... spoiler alert, did you buy his story in the beginning? Like, did you think he was innocent?
Maybe we should get through the whole thing and then talk about this.
Sorry, my bad.
Well, just because I want to explain my thought process before everyone just thinks I'm a monster.
Okay, go ahead.
It kind of gets into the point that I wanted to bring up about this episode as a whole. So, they go to see this guy, And the reason I'm taking forever is because I want to get the actor's name, because he is a slight famous face because he was the dude that was the Border Patrol officer in Men in Black. But I also want to give him credit. The guy's name is Frederick Lehne or Lehen or whatever. Okay. L-E-H-N-E. Okay, so this guy...
bring him back. Like, they talk to him and he admits to everything.
But he says it's all...
And it's like, says it's consensual and that he was invited up. Blah, blah, blah. Like, he can't believe she's claiming rape, basically. Right?
Yes. Because there's bruises in question, which lead to another thing. At the very first meeting, they take pictures of the bruises on her hips.
Oh, that's right. There's bruises. Yeah, that's right.
Okay. And when they do, they give an ass shot, which is weird because NYPD Blue goes.
You turned to me and you were bothered by that. I understand. That was weird. There was no need to sexualize her right there. She had just been raped, you know.
Yeah, that's the last thing we should do.
It's they're basically saying check out this sexy ass. Check out this sexy beaten and broken girl's ass.
Yeah, that's a weird.
That's all she's good for.
They then look into this story that the guy told her that she got the bruises doing gymnastics because she does a gymnastics class at the Y.
Yeah.
So they brought in the gymnastics coach at the Y, and she says, "Yeah, you know, we talked to her and we have her in the class, and if she were to get those bruises in my class, there's no way of knowing for sure."
Yeah.
And then Martinez says, "Well, is it possible that she called you beforehand and told you to lie? Did you talk to her before now? Or since..."
Is he a super detective or something? Where did he come up with that out of thin air? He kind of jumps.
I think he's now worried that if this woman is claiming it, because he says it to Diane, it's possible that she's pissed off because she found out he's married and they've been together a while, or they've known each other a while, and she put in this thing to get back at him. And Diane's immediately upset by that, because why would a woman pretend to be raped?
Yeah.
And this is going to lead to my bigger point towards the end.
Doesn't she get Sylvia involved because they kick the guy?
They kick the guy. Sylvia was involved in something else, but she came by and she's told the details of the case from...
She's the writing attorney on it, because she comes in and is like, "What's the details on the case?"
And they
on the rape case.
And then she gives them everything they know. The woman said she was raped. The guy said it was consensual. She has bruises, but he told a story that it was from gymnastics, which she told him, and the gymnastics teacher told them that it happens sometimes.
Yeah.
So Martinez is going to let him walk until we get some more information. The way she presents that information is very that's Martinez, because Martinez is a man. Well, not Martinez.
100%.
Not even that Martinez is a man, just Martinez doesn't take it seriously. He doesn't think it happened. And so
because then they have that little, it's the women's side of it. And then they cut to Medavoy and Martinez having the man side talk about it.
Where he's like, "I'm just trying to do the right thing and I don't know what really happened. I can only go on what's in front of me."
And I'm not saying Diane's wrong, but all Martinez is saying is there something's not right. There's a holes here, it leads to both things.
It's very deniable and not concrete.
And if their job is to get cases that are winnable, if it's just he said, she said, but they do have a pre-existing relationship?
Well, no, they don't even have that. It's just the word of her against him, because the gymnastic thing is circumstantial. Or it's flimsy
at best.
Yeah,
so that's not, they're not necessarily going to win a case, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And so, that's another reason why they're not going
to... And then they have a fight outside when they go to the bar, and the bartender's they were into it.
Yeah, they were making out and shit.
They were together and all about each other. So now Martinez is like, "Well, I mean, I got nothing to go on." And Diane's like, "Oh yeah, well, I guess..." She's really pissed off because she thinks Martinez doesn't believe her.
Yeah. I get it. Martinez is kind of being it's hard to say, cuz you want to believe a rape victim.
Mm-hmm.
But like, if like there are holes in the story, you gotta like think like, is she lying?
Mm-hmm.
It's weird.
The attitude of lock him up at the allegation of rape is not the way it works.
Yeah,
it can't be.
So they interview the guy at the bar. He says that they're in it, and then during that interview, a like another worker walks by and kind of like they keep shooting to her, and she's like kind of overhearing, and then later on she comes in. And says, mm-hmm. and then gives some information about the guy.
Basically, they fight and they fight. Out of nowhere, this second woman comes in and says, are you looking into Mark Drennan, which is the name of the guy?
There you go.
And they said, yeah, we are. And she's like, can we speak about it? And then she says, yeah, he raped me once. And then she tells the story. And she says, the way he was acting, he'll never tell you it was non-consensual. The way he acted was like, oh, well... This is how it works.
Oh shit.
And he had the balls to kiss me goodnight afterwards.
Yeah, I remember liking that line.
That woman who plays the second woman to come in is, I think I have the name Finn Carter. I'm going to double check that, but she was the main lady in Tremors.
Yep.
But here's what I wanted to get here. The point of this episode is a woman comes in with a rape allegation. The story she gives and the story the guy gives don't match up. And then the concrete evidence that it was a rape is now into question.
But she keeps leaving stuff out.
What did she leave out?
How heavy it was at the bar.
Well, she said stuff that, like that. She said that they met and they were making out and then she brought him upstairs. She mentions that. The thing that is in question now is, are those bruises from him or are those bruises from the gymnastics lesson? And because they do have confirmation that she did call the teacher beforehand, they can't confirm what they talked about, but it could very easily be, hey, if anyone talks to you, I didn't get any bruises in gym class.
That's right.
So now they have to, consider the possibility that this isn't how it happened.
Yeah. And I think it really, really upsets...
It upsets...
Russell.
Russell. And it upsets Sylvia because Sylvia was also the victim of a rape. So what I wanted to talk about that's awkward, that I think is the problem.
What's that, Jack?
The immediate assumption when a woman...
So wait, are we done?
No.
No, with that part.
No, I'm going to keep talking.
We're going to talk about something about it. I'm going to... done with the story.
Kind of.
Okay, go ahead.
Because essentially, the woman comes forward and says, yeah, good thing that second woman came in. And all the guys, all the dudes say, it's a good thing the second woman came in. All of them say that. And the reason is because then, oh, there's no doubt.
He makes that shitty remark like, oh, he had me fooled, but luckily Diane was there.
Dan was always skeptical.
It's a really shitty
thing to say.
Yeah, no, it's like a really shitty thank you.
Yeah.
It's a really shitty thank you.
Or you were right. It's a really shitty way to say you were right and I was wrong.
Yeah, without having to fully say it.
What I think is mainly wrong with how it worked was then they have a debate where, because Diane then says, well, yeah, because as long as he raped two women, then we got him. And Medavoy kind of talks over it and is like, no, that's not what we mean. That's not what we mean at all. But here's the problem that I have.
What's the problem?
And I'm gonna try and say this as nice as possible. The women in this...
Don't be nice. Be real.
The women in this story very much hear the woman's story and say, okay, it automatically happened. And when I hear the woman's story, 100%. I'm 100% on board.
All right.
Then we hear the man's story. And now it's questionable to me immediately. Like, immediately I think to myself, okay, well, now we have to ask ourselves some questions.
Okay.
For the women, no, we don't. At least for the women in the story, no, we don't. We don't have to ask any questions.
Yeah.
Because he did it. And it's like...
Yeah. No, I agree.
It's like,
agree.
But wait, like, you don't even consider this a possibility?
I believed him.
You did?
Yeah, the first time around until, boom, the switcheroo that he actually did. He actually is like a creeper.
You believed him?
I believed his story, and I believe that I think I felt like maybe she just had hurt feelings, or maybe he was too rough.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't think he raped her until the second woman came through. He had me.
I don't know how I, because I remember I've seen this episode before. I don't know how I was, how I thought about the situation the first time I saw the episode. Uh-huh. I know when I watched it now, I was like, I'm pretty sure it turns out he's a liar, so I think he's lying right now. So that informed my decision.
Okay.
But my first thought is, and Martinez has a quote where he's like, look, I have to do my job. I have to investigate this the right way.
Yeah. No, I get that. So I believed him the first time. I may be an asshole, but I believed him.
Because here's my thought that I think we all
need to... Here's my theory.
That we all need to realize. If you can accept...
Accept it.
If you believe a man, if you believe a man is enough of a sociopath,
yes,
to make up a story, control his emotions, manipulate a person into believing something that isn't true, who can go to the grave defending something that isn't true, if you believe a man can do that, why can't a woman? Because the point they're making is, why would a woman lie about this? And why would a woman come in and give that kind of story if it's a lie? I don't disagree with you. That's why my immediate thought is, I believe this woman and I believe this dude. I was kind of
so
like...
So you're saying it's sociopathic if she was lying?
Yeah.
Like if she came in, like she invited him up, like they had rough sex and then she did like this shit and then the gymnastics and then she made, maybe she was like, she saw him again and he burned her or something.
And she was like, fuck that. Well, no, because she still had her his semen in her. So it had to have been a day. But my point is, if you believe there are people out there that can do these things, like if you believe a crazy person can cut off a dude's head.
Yeah.
And do it like and think that he was righteous in doing so.
Yeah.
Why can't a woman lie about that and believe that it's important to make people believe this happened? And you know what I mean? Why is it okay for you to believe a man can do that, but not a woman can do that?
Yeah, no, I get that.
And that's why...
I'm on board with that.
The immediate thing of like, well, yeah, why would she lie? Like, that's not what I'm saying. I don't think she did. My first thought is, wow, that's really fucked up. The guy who did this, they really need to look into him. And then when the guy brings up concerns, they really got to look into those too.
Yeah, no, no, I agree.
And then when they find out he's actually just a monster,
they deal with it correctly.
They got it right. The thing that was kind of like bothering me is Martinez is clearly out of his element with this.
He's overcompensating. When he realizes that she was right, he starts to overcompensate, and he doesn't really need to apologize because I think he did the right job.
I don't think he needs to apologize to her. Well, maybe he does. All I think he needs to do is go, look, Diane, you were right and I was wrong about this situation. I'm not going to apologize for the move I made with this situation. And I'm glad it worked out the way it did and you were right and we figured it out. However, with what I was given, I did the best I could.
Yeah, yeah, but he didn't. Job. I think it was fine.
But he didn't do that. What he did was like, yeah, well, she was always skeptical. And was like, dick, like, she was right.
Yeah.
And she deserves more than, oh, she was skeptical. She deserves a like, yeah, Diane was right. I could have really messed this up because the situation was really flimsy, but I'm glad we took care of it. And the scene where they talk to the woman again, Farrell, and they say, yeah, so he's brought up some questions that we can't really answer, and we're just going to be honest with you, it won't really work if we bring it to a district attorney. And she's like, okay, well, and the way she said, well, I'll consider not filing charges, the way she said that, I was like, wait a minute, I'm pretty sure he is a rapist. Why would she be so cool about just dropping the charges?
That made you think he was... That, was a rapist?
That made me think for a second that maybe she made it up.
Yeah, that did too. That made me think she made it up too.
Because I was like, why? Like, I would imagine you'd be like way But then again, it's probably a feeling of helplessness. I can't speak for a woman that's been taken advantage of. I don't know what it's like. It just...
Well, I can, and let me tell you.
It just bothered me that if you can accept one type of psychosis and like insanity, why can't you accept it on another level with something else?
No, I agree.
But turns out...
I just feel like we've beat this episode into the ground.
The episode ends with Sipowicz giving Andy Jr. a lesson. It's a very strange lesson because he essentially points at three black gentlemen who are harassing random passerbys.
Yeah, they're just saying shit.
And then tells them, what you do is you tell them you have 15 minutes to leave, then come back in an hour, and if they haven't left, you then threaten them, and if they hit you, don't miss hitting them back, because he basically said, if you lose a fight, you lose your life.
Yeah, which is like, is that really true? Like, is it that intense?
And like, yeah.
And like, you wouldn't lose your life if you just weren't an asshole. Who cares if they're standing on the corner? The thing you should tell them is like, you can stand here, just don't be fucking assholes.
Because I don't know. The point he was
like
making...
Andy's making it sound like they're in fucking like Mad Max land. And it's like, they're the bad guys, we're the good guys. Like, it's just three dudes hanging on the corner. Just tell them to don't be assholes to people. You guys can stand here and talk and, like, do what you want to do, but, like...
I didn't think about it that way. I thought of the situation more of Andy saying, these guys have the potential to commit a crime. So before they get a chance to, let them feel your presence and tell them to get out of here. And then if they don't move, then that means they are waiting to commit a crime.
Yeah, but why do they have to move?
I'm not saying they have to move.
Yeah, so like, that's my whole argument of like, that's the way I look at what he's showing his son.
It's an awkward conversation, especially for nowadays, because...
It's just like, why not just go up to those guys and be like, hey man, like, you guys can stay here, but like, you can't harass people that walk on the street.
Yeah.
But if you three want to stand here and talk and have a conversation, and it's like, just you're not hogging up the whole fucking sidewalk, who cares? You know what I mean? Like, who cares? As long as they're just being normal human beings, who cares like where they stand?
Or if he just came up and said, hey, what are you guys doing here? And then like, we're just sitting on the corner. We can do that. He's like, okay, well, you're harassing people. If I hear anything about what happens on this corner, or can I get your names or can I get something?
Yeah, we'll take care of it. Like, I'll be back. But like, you guys can stay here. Just like, don't be assholes.
I don't know. It was a weird thing. And I think it was a weird way to basically have the last couple sentences of the episode where Sipowicz says, guys like you and me, we don't have a lot of education, but we can read and write and we're honest. And then he said, don't embarrass the job and you'll do just fine.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that's true.
It was a bit of a weird thing because it was right after he said, go hassle some dudes on some blocks.
Yeah, the show is always trying to show just how intense their job is. Like, as we move on in the seasons, like, there's more and more intense shit happens, and it's kind of weird. It's really weird. It's like, but they're trying to show just how intense their job actually is. So, it's just interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's just interesting.
Anyway, anything else left to say about girl talk?
No. Andy J doesn't come back in this episode, does he?
No, just comes by to say, hey, we're still meeting up after work one day this week to go over some tips. And it gives it just a chance for Simone to be super proud and be all happy that
Andy
Jr.
Yeah, see the progress that they're making as a family.
Yeah, no.
It's a good episode. It's got like an interesting it's got like interesting topics for, especially for now. You know,
I feel like I left the talk about the possible rape allegations with people probably thinking I'm a monster.
No, not at all.
I think I'll close out with, I think all allegations should be met with empathy and understanding and a listening ear, and then when you go after the men who did this.
I don't think people thought you were cool with rape, Kirk.
No, I'm not. I'm definitely not cool with rape.
Hey, I think people understood what you were talking about.
Hey, if I have one campaign slogan, it's definitely Kirk Asher, not cool with rape. But just, I think if we're going to take it as seriously as we should also take it seriously on all angles. And I don't know, it's hard.
I think we've beat this episode to death.
We did.
I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Every episode of NYPD Blue Balls is on AstroBrosPodcast.com, iTunes, Stitcher, where you find a podcast, on Twitter at AstroBrosPod, Instagram AstroBrothersPodcast, and if you are interested in watching NYPD Blue, it's on Hulu, and I think they have a 15-day free trial. They also got a bunch of cool shit up there, so if you're into television, you might want to get Hulu. I think the one with commercials, even though it's bullshit, is like only a couple bucks a month. So.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. I think it was like $2.
I think it's more.
I think they also have, I think Spotify also has a deal. Like if you're a student, you can get Spotify and Hulu and get like a free trial for one of them for a while. Or like get a reduced price.
So check out Hulu just to watch some NYPD Blue. It's good. It's awesome.
There's some other good shows on there too.
It's Always Sunny.
It's Always Sunny.
South Park.
Community, South Park, Simpsons.
Rick and Morty.
All the SNLs.
Handmaid's Tale. I haven't watched it.
The movie was good. I haven't seen the book version yet.
They also have a bunch of weird movies up randomly on Hulu. And
yeah, they have some good movies time to time. Anyways, moving on.
Free plug Bye. For Hulu. Anyway, peace. Enjoy yourself. Bye. Thank you once again for listening to NYPD Blue Balls. If you need more NYPD Blue in your life, like I said, you could always go to Hulu, start a free trial, and then pay monthly to watch every single episode of the best show ever, NYPD Blue. You could also check out Gene Kendall's book, An Unofficial Guide to NYPD Blue, and you can also check out the book True Blue, written by Bill Clark and David Milch about the beginning of NYPD Blue. Thanks for listening. Without you, there is no reason to do the show. Thank you to the creators of NYPD Blue for making the show. Have a good one. Be good to yourselves, be good to each other, and let's watch some NYPD Blue, huh? Peace!